Saturday morning, March 30th, 1991. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dick Mills is the speaker of the morning. This is tape one of two tapes of the morning service.
We're going to start ministering, but in Isaiah 9, verse number 8, it says, "The Lord sent a word to Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel." Ever since I was 14 years old, I was had an intense curiosity as to how to amplify these particular words. And so somebody was kind to me. They just gave me a Strong's Concordance, and that's about all you need, really. You don't need to go to a seminary for 12 years and vegetate. You can get into original languages with something like a Strong's Concordance. I see they have a Young's over there. See, that's great. So I looked it up. And the word sent actually means to transmit, like sending a telegram that's got a message that's got to be delivered. Where he says his word's not going to return void, it means that when the Lord sends a word, he has it earmarked to reach a certain person. And then the word lighted is an interesting word because it's got a space age possibility, and that is fallout. Strong's Concordance says it's like, you know, being up here and letting little things out of your hand and the wind just blows them out all over the area. So I want you to say that the Lord sent a word to this camp meeting and it's fallen out all over the United States. Hallelujah. Let's say it. It's Isaiah 9:6. The Lord sent a word to the camp meeting. And it's fallen out all over the country. You know what? You're not going to go to a church that has a sign out in front. This is the church where God used to work. You're going to a church where it's going to have a sign saying, "God is at work." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want you to embrace the person next to you and give them a little sloppy agape, would you? Just sort of love on them a little bit. Glenn, we can have this moved. We can have this moved, and I'm going to have Verma sit right next to you.
What we want you to do is you come up the aisle, whichever side you're off of, you go back down that side.
Yeah, and we'll get Irma up here right in the verses. Okay. We would really like to minister to every person, and because of the logistics, I want you to dismiss time. I want you to realize there's nothing more important than this moment, and I want you to savor this moment. Oh, we got a drawer full of testimonies that said we got a word from you in a particular situation, and it was a support system for us. And now we're seeing it happen. And we just thank God that we were sitting in an audience. And I had Chuck Smith call a pastor. This pastor had 3,000 people in his church. And this pastor was afraid of deliverance. He's afraid of revelation ministries. He's afraid of everything. He was just sort of traditional. And he said to Chuck, he said, "I'd like to have Dick." But he says, I'm leery of people that have looked, you know, that read people's minds and read their mails, you know, like I'm some kind of a psychic, you know. So anyway, Chuck Smith said to him, "Well, Dick doesn't have two heads, he's got one, and it's screwed on right, you know." So I'm sitting on the platform, and the pastor says, "God, you know, he looks okay to me, but I've been burnt by stuff, people that are off the wall and the freaky stuff. I come from California, and I hate to tell people I'm from California, because most people are convinced that God tilted the United States and all the weirdos slid into California. You know? Most people are really convinced that. The California saints are called the granola saints, nutty, flaky, and fruity. I don't want you to know that." You know? So I walked in and the guy says, "Oh boy, here's another Californian, you know." So he says, "Lord, I believe Chuck, but I am going to put out a fleece." He said, "I'm going to walk out in the audience, pick up a man. that's an Israeli, but he doesn't look Israeli. He just looks like an American businessman. And have Dick give him a scripture that's got an Israeli touch on it. So the pastor said, do you mind if I walk out in the audience and bring a man forward for ministry? And I said, no. I said, I like the teamwork concept. So he goes out and he said, brother, come on up here. And the man was coming up the aisle. I didn't know this was in the pastor's heart. I didn't even know he'd had any problems with it. I didn't even know he's struggling or even, you know, putting out a fleece. The man comes down the aisle. The Lord gives me a word to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Glory to God. So, anyway, the man comes forward, and I did not relate to that verse because I never studied it. I never read it. I didn't even know where it was. I had to go looking for it. And I said, brother, I give you a scripture, but I want to tell you that I can't even relate to it, but it's to the Jew first and to the Greek. I says, that doesn't mean anything to me, but does it mean something to you? And the pastor says, it means a lot to me. And he confesses in front of 3,500 people that he was checking me out, you know. Hallelujah. I want the ushers to get the people on the back row and bring them up. And Irma's going to be right here. And we're going to minister to you. Now, if you do have any of my literature, this is not compulsory, but if you have either one of the books, bring it forward. I'll put my name in it real quick because I promised a bunch of people I'd sign my name last night, and I wasn't able to because of physical fatigue. So if you got a book sitting on your lap, I'll sign it, but that's not a requisite. Okay, you have some of these? Well, we're going to give you the whole thing. Take the hand of the person next to you. And let's pray this prayer in the name of Jesus. I release a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a word of faith, a healing word, a miracle word, a prophetic word, a discerning word, and an interpreting word. In the name of Jesus, I release a love word, a joy word, and a peace word. Make it your prayer, Lord, sensitize Dick Mills right now. We know that this is not automated. It's not a mechanic. And it's not robotic. And it's not computerized. And I want you to say it as a confession, Lord, this is people to people. Heart to heart. And spirit to spirit. The word I'm getting is super stamina, super fortitude, and super high-level energy from now to the coming of the age, ending of the age, and changing of the current structure the way it is in our world. Super stamina and energy from here on out. Zechariah 10:12, I'm going to strengthen you in the Lord. And you're not just going to walk. You are going to go in the strength of the Lord Jehovah. Right now, it's a new financial strength, a new spiritual authority and strength, and a new physical strength and vitality. You're not dragging a tired body around the rest of your life. You're going in divine strength. Hallelujah. Isn't that a good word? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay, come on up, sir. Malachi 3:17. There's a circle around the throne of God, and it's a family circle. And it's your family. And the Lord says, they'll all be mine. The circle is not going to be broken. You've had family members resist you because of your involvement with spirit-filled people. You've had family members resist you on the gifts of the Spirit, being operative in the church today and God delivering people from the demonic. But there's a new thing happening. A new wind is blowing. God is bringing your family together into the unity of the Spirit. And you're going to be the catalyst, Acts 16:31, you're going to be the catalyst for the salvation of every member of your family. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. That was worth the trip, wasn't it? She's writing it down. Do you mind I need to really take your hand so I can minister to you. Two things. Psalm 37:4, he's going to give you the desires of your heart. And he showed me some blessings that have been accumulating for a long time. Everybody said, delight yourself in the Lord.
Delight yourself in the Lord.
He'll give you the desires of your heart.
The
and there's been something, he gave me a word, accrued benefits, as though he's been amassing some things so that when it comes, it's going to come in abundance. Ephesians 3:20, he's going to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or even think. So not only is he going to give you the desires of your heart, but it's going to be bigger than life. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? If any of you in the audience, have already been ministered to because of the fact that we're working with the time frame, we'd like to ask one courtesy and that you remain and let somebody else that has not been ministered to get their word. Because I hope to get up to the front row within the time frame. And if people who have already been ministered get in the line again, what they're doing is preventing somebody that's close to the front maybe from getting ministered to. We don't want that to happen. So the word is unselfish, right? Job 42:10, Job 42:12, the Lord blessed the last days of Job more than his first days. The Lord gave Job twice as many blessings at the end of his life as what he started out with. I was in Perth, Australia recently, and a man came to me and said, Dick, God's done it already. He said, I started life with one house and two mortgages. Now I've got two houses and four mortgages. I don't really think that's what he's saying to you. Everybody say to this kind gentleman, you're going out with a double. Glory to God. Isn't that great? Come on up, ma'am. The Lord's going to let you see yourself as he sees you. Ephesians 3:10. And Ephesians 2:10. And one of them says that he's going to adorn you with a manifold wisdom that is the same as Joseph's coat of many colors. And same word, paliupoikilos. It's a coat that had a lot of hues, tints, shades, and a lot of variations. And he's going to let you see yourself adorned with that paliupoikilos or that coat of many colors, but the other one says you're his workmanship, and we're not believe me, I'm not trying to go into academia, but I want you to write the word P-O-I-E-M-A, the Greek word for workmanship is poimen. It's word where we get a word poem, and the Jerusalem Bible, and I'd like to have you write this, the Jerusalem Bible says you are his work of art, and you need to know that you're a work of art. What's your first name? Anna? Everybody say, Anna, you're a work of art. And all that God makes is beautiful. So I'm going to say, Anna, you're pretty. You're a work of art. Isn't that wonderful? Okay. Come on up, sir. Usher, as soon as we get the line down to two or three people, let's get the next row and just send them all up because we want to keep moving. Habakkuk 2:3, the vision that you've been holding on to for over 7 years is for an appointed time. Though it tarry, you wait for it. It's going to come to pass. It's not going to delay any longer. And the Lord gave you a vision of unlimited cash flow and funding the gospel and supporting missionaries and translating scriptures for new tribes and food for the hungry and taking care of the homeless. He showed you a ministry of generosity. And Isaiah 28:21 says it's going to happen, but it isn't going to happen the way that you had originally thought it was going to happen. It's not going to come through commodities and oil in the ground and gold and minerals. It's going to come from another source. It isn't going to be the Illinois Lottery or the Pennsylvania Sweepstakes or the Reader's Digest, Sweepstakes. But the Lord said, you're going to be into a ministry of generosity, but it's coming from an unusual and unexpected source. I want everybody to say, my answer is according to his timetable.
Glory.
And by his determination. I want you to say, I get my answers on his terms. And on his timing. So you got an answer coming. But the beautiful thing is, a spirit of generosity is being released to you right now. And 3 years from now, you're going to give more to the Lord than you were earning 3 years ago. Hallelujah. Everybody reach out to the brother and say, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Okay. Tell me your name.
Brenda.
Brenda. The Lord gave me word you're going to have a command on health. Isaiah 58:8. Health is going to spring forth speedily. In Jeremiah 30, verse number 17, he said, I'll keep health restored in this physical frame from here on out. I just want to tell you, Brenda, the doctors aren't going to make much money off of you. Yeah. Ephesians 3:20, he's going to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. And 2 Chronicles 25:9, put a B there, it said, whatever you have right now, the Lord is going to give you much more than this. And he showed me that you were raised in a church that was very legalistic, and they put some real limits just as to how far we can go with God's blessings. And the Lord is going to blast the legalistic limits right out and show you a God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. I even have a picture of you, 7 years of age, at the county fair on a hot August day wanting an ice cream cone, and some legalistic, judgmental, opinionated, smart mouth, you know, uncle or relative says, no, no ice cream. That's a lust of the flesh. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you are free from legalism. And if you want to get a half a gallon of pistachio nut and eat the whole thing, you're free. Hallelujah. You are free. Isn't it wonderful? There's always somebody wants to take the joy out of living. Okay. What's your name?
I'm Frankie.
And you're the little lady that beats on that piano 8 to the bar.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom said she
don't want you to marry,
but she's been married 60-some years, and she already knows how to fight.
2 years.
62 years.
Adam, I got to put a scripture in there. Adam and Eve are in the garden at midnight, you know, full moon, animals bedded down, awestruck with the sight. And Eve feels romantic, and she comes up to Adam, and she says, Adam, do you love me? And Adam says, who else? There you go. This is your word. Oh, I'm going to put the word right here. John 15:7 and John 15:16. Hey, listen to this. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will. And the Greek word erataho means you can write out a requisition, put the signature of Jesus on it. It's his signature that gives us access to the riches and glory. You can write out a requisition, go to God's storehouse, and it's payable on demand. Say it with me. If you abide in me, and my rhema promises abide in you, you can write out your requisition. Signed by Jesus. Take it to God's storehouse. And it's payable on demand. Just like cashing a check at the bank.
And I believe it, Lord.
John 15:16, if he says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
There's your word. Hey, did anybody ever tell you you're going to be a century plant?
Huh? No.
Well, I'm not telling you that. But
you are.
No, but you've only got, 14 years to go, or is it 24? Yeah, you don't have too many years to go to make it to 100.
But I'm going to make it. I'm going to walk into the kingdom.
That's it. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Sir, come up here. Habakkuk 1:5 in the Living Bible says you're going to have to stand still and you're going to have to stand still and be amazed and astonished at what I'm about to do. Because I'm going to work a work in your days. You're going to have to see it to believe it. And I want everybody to say it's going to be bigger than life. And Isaiah 29, verse number 14. Listen, I'm going to proceed to do a marvelous work among you, a marvelous work and a wonder. The wisdom of the wise shall perish, the understanding of the prudent shall be hid, but the meek shall increase their joy in the Lord, and those that have been tested severely among men shall rejoice in their portion. Hallelujah. So the good news is you're on a winning team. And my motto is, go with the winners. Okay. Isaiah 14:3, it shall come to pass that the Lord will give you complete freedom from every bit of fear, every bit of sorrow, and every bit of bondage that people have tried to put on you. People from year one have tried to dominate you, control you, manipulate you, and use you. And Isaiah 14:3 says you're going to be freed from fear, sorrow, and bondage. And Isaiah 54:14 says in righteousness you'll be established. Oppression will be far from you. Oppression is going right now by a word, an anointed word. And fear and depression will not come near you. Praise God. Do you know that when Israel began to sing and to praise the Lord, God smote their enemies? You can actually start praising your way through oppression. Satan's trying to put a stranglehold of oppression on you. You can break the back of the devil, and you can beat the devil at his own game by rejoicing and coming right out of it. Because you were meant to be a liberated handmaiden, not an oppressed vessel. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? So, laugh at the devil. 1 Corinthians 12:31, covet earnestly the best gifts. And 1 Corinthians 14:12, be zealous for spiritual gifts. And the Lord gave me word that he's going to give you teaching abilities with discerning qualities. And the deliverances that you have, you're going to be able to share with others. And Ezekiel says that you're going to have a real ministry with new converts, people that are from nowhere. And I want you to come up here and take a look at it. This is all the new converts that are going to come in this decade. The forecast, 1 billion new born-again people in the 90s. And most of them have come from a background, as far as the kingdom of God, of zero. In fact, most of them are going to come out of New Age and Mormonism and, you know, and the cults and everything else like that. You're going to teach my people, these are the new converts, the babes in Christ, you're going to teach my people the difference between that which is holy and that which is unholy, and you're going to cause my people to discern between that which is clean and that which is unclean. The Lord gave me word that you're going to be teaching new converts the very principles of honesty, morality, Ezekiel 44:23. Yeah. And you're going to give people what you call basic training in the righteousness of God, 44:23. And so, let me tell you something. As you reach out to other people, the Lord will be reaching out to you. Your deliverance is coming as you deliver others. And it's Proverbs 11:25. They that water should be watered also. And so instead of being introspective and looking in all the time, at what's wrong on the inside. Start looking out to the fields white to harvest and see a need out there and meet the need. And as you reach out to other people, God's going to be reaching out to you. Isn't that a good word? Yes, hallelujah. Okay. What's your name? Okay. I'm getting this word, Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And I'm getting this word, Nehemiah 9:21, they walked with the Lord and he sustained them, and they lacked nothing. Let's say it for the young lady. They walked with the Lord, he sustained them, and they lacked nothing. This is going to get you through brownout, blackout, power failure, energy crises, depression, recession, World War III, Florida going underwater, California dropping into the ocean, or the Democrats getting back in. I mean, it is going to get you right into the future. Hallelujah. Okay. Tell me your name. Jennifer. Hey, New Jersey. Hey, it's about the same, really. I want you to know that 2 Timothy 2:15 says that you're going to be a student of the Word. You're going to take this book and devour it. And you're going to consume it. Isaiah 34:16, you're going to seek out of the book of the Lord and read, and you'll find promises that will never fail. And Nehemiah 8:8, the Bible is going to be a love story. It's going to be very clear, self-explanatory. You're going to understand it. You're going to know what it means. And you're going to be able to communicate it to others. How old are you? Are you single? Okay. Because I just messed up the next 2 years of your life. I just want you to know that. Look at this, Jennifer. See the color code? 7,700 promises. It took me 2 years. Don't any of you young men call her the next 2 years. She's going to be working on her Bible. I mean, your social life is zero, kid, for the next 2 years. Let me tell you what's going to happen when you walk out of that room. You're going to be a walking Bible. Hallelujah. Ooh. Not great? I've got a word in Isaiah 65:24 that says, before you call, and while they're yet speaking, I'll hear. In Matthew 6:8, your Heavenly Father answers your prayers before you can even pray them. You know what the good word is? It took an effort to get here. There were other things that she could have done and felt like needed to be done. She has responsibilities. And she made a sacrifice of her responsibilities and schedules to get here. And the Lord said, I'm going to reward her because while she's here, I am there working change things back at home. Hallelujah. And there's going to be a new mood of cooperation when you get back home. Right now, there are members of the family God's dealing with, and they're having a change of heart. God's taking stony hearts out and putting in hearts of flesh, and there's going to be a new unity. And he also showed me this Thanksgiving, there's going to be new people around the table singing the songs of the Lord at Thanksgiving time, who were missing last Thanksgiving because they were out partying, and there's a change going on in your family. Let's praise the Lord for that one. Glory, 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 glory. Okay. Jeremiah 33:3 says, below the surface of the level of your vision, what sociologists call subliminal, below the surface of your sight level, he said, is your future, my plans, my will, your gifts. And Jeremiah 33:3, you can pick this up from some new translations. Call upon me and I'll answer thee, and I'll bring to your view things concerning you and your future that you don't know. And this is awesome because the Lord showed me that he has got within him the ability for divine creativity, the divine imagination, and inventive genius that has never really been tapped. It's a resource. So say it with me so that the talents and gifts that are latent, the Latin word is in potentia, that are latent within him can begin to surface, especially the inventive, the scientific inventive genius that's resident there. Say it with me from Jeremiah 33:3. Call upon me, and I'll answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you're not aware of. I want you to say things hidden from view, things below surface, things that exist, but you haven't viewed them yet. If you call on me, I'll bring them to your view. And what he's saying is, I'm going to show you where you came from. I'm going to show you where you are. I'm going to show you where you're going. And I'm going to show you how to get there and get past Satan's landmines, booby traps, roadblocks, and obstacle courses. I want everybody to say to this man, good news, you're going to make it. Isn't that great? Yeah. That's your word. I woke up this morning and I said, Lord, I've known the Millers for a long time. I said, I've known Glenn and Irma for a long time, all the way back to 1960. I said, what's the word that describes him? The one word. And he says, survivors. Isn't that a good word? And when you use that word, the average person says, I wouldn't want to go back over what I've been over and go over it again the second time for anything. Yeah. So I want to give the Millers a word right now. It's Exodus 14:15, and it says, speak to my people and tell them to go forward. So there's not going to be any nostalgic trips for these people. You aren't going to come to this camp and hear golden oldies, you know. Deuteronomy 33:12, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety, and the Lord shall just cover him all day long. He gives me a word that you are enveloped with personal safety, and that no matter where you go, you are protected by the celestial security system. Everybody say it. I'm protected by the celestial security system. And I want you to know, if Satan tries to mess around with you, he's in bad trouble with that system. Come on up, young man. I got an interesting word that's called the ripple effect, Acts 1:8. The ripple effect in Acts 1:8 was first Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then uttermost parts of the earth. I went to a town on South Island of New Zealand, and it's called Invercargill. And when you come into the city limits, it's got a sign saying, Acts 1:8, we're the uttermost parts of the earth. And they actually distance it by miles. And Invercargill is the town that is farthest from Jerusalem on planet Earth. And they've got it on their city limits. We're Acts 1:8. But I want to tell you what it means to you. You're going through a deliverance, and it's taken some time. Isaiah 28:10, it's line on line, precept on precept. But the good news is, it's not going to take forever. You just, you know, you're walking through the manure, but you're going to come out smelling like the roses. So Jerusalem is you. That's headquarters. Now let me tell you about Judea. It's up country. Your deliverance is going to affect your relatives. It's going to up country. And I'd like to say prophetically, your deliverance is going to be their deliverance. Then Samaria is people outside the family, but still friends. They were friends. And after your deliverance impacts your family, then it's going to start impacting your friends. Then uttermost parts of the earth are people outside your circle of family and friends. I've got three advisors, and I believe that everybody, first of all, I believe everybody goes around prophesying has a high-risk job. Secondly, I believe that everyone who goes around prophesying needs it recorded so that they can answer anything that ever comes up if there's any problems arising. So I'm accountable. I believe people who prophesy need to be accountable. And I know you feel that too. And one of my advisors is Jack Hayford. One of them is Roy Hicks. And another one is a missionary to the Philippines, Alan Hamilton, an ex-missionary there. And all three of them have advised me not to do any date setting thus saith the Lord. But they say if you feel it in your spirit, you need to convey to people, this is what I'm feeling in my spirit. Because there was no date setting in the New Testament. Nobody set dates. The closest was Jesus who said, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. Okay, that's the closest date setting. But he didn't say when that temple's going to get destroyed. And also, Agabus came down and told Paul there's going to be a famine, but he didn't say when. And it didn't happen for 2 years. So I'm trying to be a New Testament prophet who edifies, exhorts, comforts, and refreshes and renews. I am not a seer that has out-of-the-body experiences with a conversation going on with angels with pink and blue wings, you know. There are some people who probably do that, but I'm just a butter and eggs man, you know. I got my feet down here just asking to refresh God's people. And so how many believe this is a refreshing ministry? Can you say amen to that? Okay, so the reason I say that is that this Jerusalem, your deliverance, Judea, your family's deliverance, Samaria, your friend's deliverance, uttermost part of the earth, other people, the Lord gave me a sort of an awareness that you need to count on that happening within the next 3 years. That it's going to be a ripple effect. Say it. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. It's like dropping a rock and then watching the ripples. But judgment begins at the house of God. And so the Lord, and you're the house of God, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. And he read it yesterday in the ninth chapter of Ezekiel, started my sanctuary. So God's doing something inside of you. But the good news is you're right on schedule, you're right on time, and you're working your way through. Everybody said from Job 23:10, he knows the way that I take. And when he's tried me, I'll come forth like pure gold. I want you to say to the young man, your day of deliverance has arrived. I want you to say, go for it. Isn't that great? He gave me a beautiful word for him. It's the ability to exercise and minister the gifts that God's given you and be totally unaffected by criticism. How many of you would like to be able to do the will of the Lord and be totally unaffected by criticism? I was in a very small organization. When I started calling people out of the audience, giving them scriptures, they couldn't handle it. Man, they thought I had really gone off the wall, you know. So I'm getting hate mail. And I'm getting criticism. And people are saying unkind things. And it was a shocker. I was no match for it. You sit in a denominational setting and you echo the denominational sentiment and you echo their doctrines and you say what they tell you to say. Hey, nobody's going to hassle you. But the minute God says, hey, I've got a plan for you and I want you to follow me, how many have discovered that's when all hell breaks loose? So with the hate mail and the phone calls, I'm baffled. I said, these people have got to be baptized in crabapple juice. I mean, how could they say all this stuff? And then I'm beginning to wonder, you know, how could they say these kind of words about a guy like me that is so lovable? And the Lord gave me these three scriptures. I was over in Columbia, Missouri. And we're having a street meeting on Saturday out at the town square. And there's a farmer standing there in overalls watching me. And I just got out of Bible school. And I gave an anointed testimony. And the Spirit of God moved. We're right out there, city square, Columbia, Missouri. So the farmer comes up to me and says, Sonny, says, can you take a word from the Lord, from an old farmer, Missouri farmer? And I said, sure can. He said, when a man is sawing wood, he's going to leave a pile of sawdust.
Please turn the tape over. For side two, thank you.
He said, when a man is sawing wood, he's going to leave a pile of sawdust that sends a message. He's sawing wood. He says he doesn't have to tell anybody how much wood he sawed. The pile of sawdust will tell him. So he puts his hands on my shoulder and he looks me in the eye. He says, you're going to run past a lot of critics that are going to ask you, what are you doing? But he says, here's the word of the Lord. Just saw wood and say nothing. Man, I tell you what, that has stayed with me. I had a mafia guy come to Portland, and his wife had been manic depressive, and I gave her a word that lit her up and filled her with the joy of the Lord, and she went home transformed. And he said, what happened to you? He said, she was suicidal. He told me later, she was suicidal, manic depressive. She comes home full of joy because the word is liberating. And she comes home, she says, well, this guy's name is Dick Mills, and he gives scriptures. And this guy's a mafia guy, and he says, there's an angle to it. So I meet him at the door coming in. He says, you know, he says, I'm one of these guys that's got everything figured. He says, there's an angle to what you're doing. He says, I'm going to sit back here and watch you. He says, and I'm going to figure the angle. I says, hey, Eddie, it's done with mirrors. You know, that's what I told him. Poor old Eddie never could figure out what was going on. Psalm 31, if you want deliverance from criticism or your reaction to criticism, Psalm 31, verse 20, I'm going to hide you in the secret of my presence from the pride of man, and I'm going to keep you hid secretly in a shelter from the strife of criticizing voices. Hallelujah. Whoa. Job 5. Listen to Job 5. Verse number 21, you're going to be hid from the scourge of the tongue. The scourge is a whiplash that tears you to pieces. Cuts you apart. And I tell you what, there's some criticism that can really cut you right to the quick. But you're going to be hid from the scourge of the tongue because the Lord is going to deliver you. And you know what the word is? You're going to get on with life. You're going to get on with your ministry. And if people criticize you, it's not your problem. It is their problem. Isn't that great? So the word is kill them with kindness and slay them with love. Are you the young lady I gave the strength scripture to you up there? Isn't that great? I just walked out. She's walked by and said, hey, I got a word for you. You know, don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on your hopes. Don't give up on your aspirations. Don't give up on your vision. Zechariah 9:12. Keep those hopes in your heart. Just lock them up and keep them there. Don't let them slip away. Don't let Satan rob you of hope, because the Lord says you're going to end up with a double portion. In Isaiah 61:7, Satan's tried to humiliate you, embarrass you, persecute you, put you down, but you're going to get a double portion as a result. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. I really need another row. I'd like to have at least 10 people standing in line. And I don't want to sound mystical, but when I have 10 people in line, God's preparing my heart for the people that are standing in line. And because of the clock, I really want us to move it along. So if you could kind of keep the line together here. Okay. Revelation 3, 7, and 8. I open doors, nobody shuts them. I shut doors, nobody opens them. I'm setting before you an open door. Oh, God. Nobody can shut it. I want everybody to listen closely. Between Christmas and New Year's, I was fasting and praying, and the Lord gave me a revelation. He says, I want you to tell it everywhere. He says, you're going to meet frustrated, discontented, unfulfilled Christians who have giftings, talents, and capabilities, but they don't have an outlet for it. He says, I'm shifting the scene in the world. And he said, the people with the giftings, the talents, the anointings, and the ministries, he said, I'm going to line up an outlet for their giftings and their talents and their ministries. And he said, they are frustrated because they have the abilities, but they don't have an opportunity to express them. And the Lord gave me a word that he is lining some things up for you this year that will give you an outlet. And it's like an open door that you've been waiting a long time for. And the beautiful thing is you didn't have to open the door. The Lord's going to open it for you. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. So don't get discouraged if the opportunity hasn't existed. You know what? I think what I'll do is just sign my name and give you the word right here, and that way we can move it on. It's a new insight on guidance. Psalms 32:8, I'll instruct you and teach you in the way that you're to go, and I'll guide you with my eye. And Proverbs 16:3 in the Amplified says, turn your future over to the Lord and put everything in your future completely in His hands, and He will cause your thoughts to agree with His will, and every plan you have is going to succeed. Jesus, isn't that great? Hallelujah. Sir, I really believe Glenn quoted it yesterday. Moses at 120. His natural forces were never abated. Well, I told you when I was 14, I had this insatiable curiosity for words. Somebody has given you another pen to work with. And, okay, it's Psalms, it's Deuteronomy 34:7. Moses was 120 when he died. He's under the law, 60 years of age, under grace, half the age. Huh? Well, I'm talking about people that are just half that age, under grace, that don't have the vitality that he had, twice his age, under the law, you know. So anyway, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, a good eyesight, and his natural force was not abated. So I did a word study on him, and it says his saliva glands were functioning. He could, his teeth were in, he could chew. He could chew food. He could masticate it. He could swallow it. He could digest it. He could eliminate the poisons. The nutrients would nourish him. All his bodily processes were functioning right up to the time he left. And I got good news. The Lord said he's going to preserve the righteous. You're going to be well preserved, brother. Everybody say, good news, dear brother. You've got longevity. He's going to outlast Lawrence Welk. Hallelujah. Okay. God's grooming you and preparing you for something special. In Isaiah 45:2 and 3, the Lord will go before you. He'll make the crooked places straight. He'll break in sunder gates of brass. He'll break in pieces bars of iron. And he'll give you the to give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. Say it with me, you're breaking sunder gates of brass. You're breaking pieces bars of iron. He'll give you treasures of darkness. And he'll give you the hidden riches of the secret places. Isn't that neat? Wow. The people that have the line, we'll stop with this person because we are going to take a little five-minute break. So we'll do these people that are in line. So those of you that are in line, please stand there. And then we'll just have a break in action. And we're going to make some announcements, take an offering, sing a song, and then we'll be right back. Okay, Numbers 23:19. God's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it? Will he not do it? Hath he not spoken it? And will he not make it good? Let me tell you, without sounding too mystical, what happens. The Holy Spirit releases the scripture. Now, that's something every one of us can have. At John 14:26, the Holy Spirit will bring things to your remembrance. He released the scripture to me. My covenant will not break nor alter the word that's gone out of my mouth. Okay, now, I get that word, and remember we said a while ago, people to people? It's like the Lord gave him a word of assurance and a word of promise and a real word of tremendous things happening in his life. And like he's been holding on to it for about 4 years, and Satan has tried to erode his confidence in that promise and try to make him think it'll never happen. And so we know Satan is a liar, but he's going to hassle every one of us. So the man stands in front of me, and here's the word the Lord gives me. My covenant will I not break, Psalms 89:34, nor alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. And the word alter means change my mind. So I got good news. God has not changed his mind. It's going to happen. Satan is a liar. You're coming out. And it is going to be better than ever. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo. Okay, you're going to win a lot of souls. I'm getting a word, but you're going to win souls. And Daniel 12:3 says you're going to turn many to righteousness. And Proverbs 11:30 says you're going to, he that winneth souls is wise. And John 4:38, I'm sending you out to reap a harvest wherein you bestowed no labor. Others ahead of you have done the preliminary work. You're going to gather in the harvest. And in the 90s, we're going to see God doing things out in the streets, in the shopping malls, in the factories, in the schools. There's going to be more supernatural activity outside the church building than there is inside the church building. What's your first name? Manuel. I want everybody to say, good news, Emmanuel. You're going to heaven. And you're going to take 1,000 souls with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, what's your name, sweetie? Huh? Jennifer. Exodus 23:20 says there's an angel. And he's going with you. It doesn't say you're an angel, but it says you have an angel. But I believe you're a little angel, too. You know, Jennifer, our kids grew up and got married and left. We got 2 empty bedrooms. We're looking for a little girl to come and live with us. And the deal is Disneyland once a month. Is that what it is? Knott's Berry Farm, every 6 months. Surfing every 90 days. And your own telephone. Now, how does that sound to you? I bet she's a mama's girl. I bet that 30 minutes out of town, she'd cry, I want my mama. So the deal's off, Jennifer. We don't want to take you away from your mama. We're still looking for that little girl. Hey, Exodus 23:20. Come here, Jennifer. I want you to see it. Behold, I send an angel right out in front of you to keep you on your journey and to bring you to the place which I have prepared for you. Isn't that great? Hey, I want to say something. Before this age ends, it's going to be rough. And there's going to be a lot of violence, and there's going to be a lot of persecution. There's going to be some tough times. The Lord, no matter how bad it gets, the Lord is going to do something. He's going to let you see that angel. And it's going to do something to realize that God has sent a strong angel to protect you. And the devils in hell are afraid of that guy because he's got clout. So I don't get out on the freeway and press your luck, you know. I mean, you know, use wisdom. But you got some super help there. Isn't that great? She's even going to see that angel. I was at another club last week, and they brought Carmen in. And I said, Carmen, God's going to change your ministry completely. I said, he's even going to change your songs. Your songs are going to be songs of deliverance. And the Lord gave me a word. And I have ministered to all kinds of gospel musicians all over the world. From Andre Crouch to, you know, Culverwell. What's his first name? Andrew Culverwell, yeah. I'm all over Australia, Nolene Pernsonham. And he gave me a word in, it was Zephaniah 3:17. And it says, the Lord says, I'm going to rejoice over you with singing. And I says, no matter what you're trying to do, no matter what your structure, no matter what you're setting up, I said, there's going to be a time when the holiness of God's going to envelop his people, and we're going to hear the Lord singing to us. Zephaniah 3:17, he says, the Lord will rejoice over you with singing. And Carmen thinks fast. He said, to his manager there. He says, keep the tape recorder handy, because when that happens, I want to record it, you know. He says, we want that song, you know. But I got good news. Between now and the time it all ends, the Lord is going to joy over us with singing. And he doesn't sing off key, folks. I want you to know that. I've got good news for you. Psalms 91, 14, 15, and 16. Because you set your love upon me, I'm going to deliver you. Because you've known my name, I'm going to set you up in the high places. When you call on me, I'll answer you. I'll deliver you, I'll honor you. And with long life, will I satisfy you. Come on up a little closer. I want us to break something. When the Lord gave me the word long life, he showed me that there have been spiritualistic mediums, psychics, and people in the mysticism that have pronounced short life on the members of this family. And we're going to break it. I want everybody to say, with long life will I satisfy you. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. And I want you to say, we make null and void the curse of death on this family. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. She's going to live her life out. Going to live her life out. You couldn't get out of this world if you tried. I want you to know that. Hallelujah. Proverbs 3:4. It's two-dimensional. I'm giving you a favor with God and a favor with man. In Romans 14, 18, you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You're accepted of God, and you're approved of man. And the Lord said, I'm going to set you in a setting where you're going to have God's divine favor on everything you do, and you're going to have the favor of the people you work with, and the end result is they're going to believe you, they're going to trust in you, and they're going to open up to you. Hallelujah. Isn't this wonderful? Praise God. Isaiah 40, 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The word renew is the Hebrew word kalif. That's where we get the word Californian. And it means the place of making a change and the making an exchange. And I don't know if you mark your Bible, but the literal on Isaiah 40, 31 is they that wait upon the Lord shall exchange their strength, ours for his. How many of you would like to exchange your strength right now? Let's put a couple hands up and let's exchange our strength, ours for his. They that wait upon the Lord shall exchange their strength, ours for his. Oh, I just accept it right now, Lord. Jesus. And it's for the rest of the family, too. Isaiah 40, 29. Say it with me. Power giveth to the faint. And to them that have no might. He will increase their strength. Hallelujah. Praise God. Exodus 14, 13, and 14. So stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And it says, the Egyptians you see today, you're not going to see anymore. Just substitute problems that the world throws at us. Because the Egyptians are type of the world system. And I want you to say it, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Problems you've been facing up to now, you're not going to face anymore.
Hallelujah.
2 Chronicles 20, verse number 15 and 17. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Hallelujah. The battle is not yours. Everybody say it. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord. Oh, let's say it. To stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. That was just a little love tap I gave her. Just a little love tap. How many children do you have? Acts 16:31, because you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be saved, and all your household. Luke 19:9, salvation is coming to this house. And Galatians 6:10, said yours is going to be the house whole of faith. There's not going to be any unbelief under that roof. I want you to say it. Yours is a household of faith.
Yours is a household of faith.
Isn't it wonderful? If you want to speed it up, say, hey, you're all going to get saved. You might as well surrender right now. Okay, just a minute. Last night a young man came by and talked to me back there. And he's from Michigan. And I got a word from him. Is that young man here this morning? From Mount Pleasant. Mount Pleasant, Michigan. Is he here? What province are you from? I'm going to be there this summer. Is it really true that Alberta and British Columbia are going to withdraw from the Dominion and join the United States?
I hope so.
You hope so? I've been talking about it for 20 years. Every time they get upset in Ottawa, they say, we're pulling out. The thing is, the United States never has officially invited them. You know? So I don't know why they're blowing smoke. Listen to this. God wants to do something in your town. Joshua 6:16, shout, the Lord has given you the city. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody say it, shout. The Lord has given you your city. And listen to this one. Acts 8:10. Signs and wonders, miracles, deliverances. And there was great joy in the city. Oh, God's going to send a deliverance ministry there. And there's no joy in a city while there's abortion clinics, pornography, sleaze parlors, and all kinds of street crime and drugs. But Acts 8, verse number 5, 6, 7, and 8, Philip went down, worked miracles, the people responded, and there was great joy in the city. You know what's going to take it? What's going to take your town is going to be signs and wonders and miracles. And if the church shuts the door and says no to it, God will raise up some people right out in the streets and they'll do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to Acts 18. Every church needs to invite the Holy Spirit in. Acts 18, verse number 9 and 10. This is for you. This is for your town. Look. Acts 18, 9 and 10. Be not afraid. Speak. Don't hold your peace. I'm with you. Nobody will set on you to hurt you, for I have much people in this city, says the Lord of hosts. Let's all stand up and praise the Lord, shall we? Ooh, hallelujah. Glenn, shall I just dismiss them for, or are you changing? Okay, hey, everybody stretch and just get your blood circulating, would you? Okay. That's right, we're going to do some crosses.
You can be seated. How many of you have been blessed? How many have been blessed this whole weekend?
Can I take this off?
Praise the Lord.
Can I take this off?
I
want to go.
If you've been blessed, and I think every hand raised was raised, I'm going to ask you to take that same hand and put it in your pocket, and let's really give a blessed offering this morning. Let's bless the ministries that have come. And Brother Mills and others that have been here. And give back what the Lord has given to you. How does that sound? I think that's a good deal. You know, the scripture says, or it's not a scripture, it's a song we used to sing. You can't beat God giving, no matter how you try. And I've found that to be true in my personal life. I'm sure many of you found that to be true yourselves. And, you know, when we give to God, He does give back to us. In many ways, the scripture says, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give into your bosom? And I know from experience that that's true. So let's do that this morning. That's just even gift beyond what maybe we had planned on giving. And I know that God is going to bless you for it. And while we, while you give this morning, we're going to sing after, we'll sing a song after the offering. Okay, yeah, we need our ushers. And while we're taking the offering, Phil is going to sing that song again that he sang last night. Hopefully we'll have it on the overhead sometime
why
today.
Why don't you get over there?
Need another one? Before we take the offering, I'd like to say that this afternoon it will be like yesterday at 1:15, ladies meeting upstairs, men's meeting down here, 2:30. We'll all be back here. The Moody's will be ministering this afternoon. And then at 7 o'clock tonight, we're having a very special service tonight. You want God to do something special for you, even more than what's already happened. You be here tonight. It's going to be a time of blessing. And it's going to be a special ministry service tonight. And I believe we're going to see some real miracles. So let God bless you right now as you bless Him and give to Him. Amen. Father, we thank You for the visitation of Your Spirit among us. We thank You, Lord, that You're changing our natures and giving us a new name that no man can name. We praise You for that. And Lord, now we just thank You for this offering that we've received. We thank You, Lord, for Your blessing on it. We pray, Lord, that it will be multiplied in the kingdom of God 100-fold. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. 1 John 5:14, if you ask anything according to His will, He hears you. And if He hears you, you've got your answer. 1 John 3:22, whatever you ask, you receive. Because you keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Here's the way you spell ask. A, ask, S, seek, and K, knock. And even though you hear these people make statements, don't come back a second time, because that means the first time was unbelief. I believe that asking leads to seeking, and seeking leads to knocking, and knocking leads to the place where, Lord, I won't let You go till You bless me. How many have discovered that you've got to get serious in some situations to get some answer? Hallelujah. There's your word. Oh. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Do you know what Peter's mother-in-law did the minute Jesus healed her? She got up and went to the kitchen and put on a meal. Hallelujah. That's a real ministry. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 31:3 said, I've loved you with an everlasting love, and with tender loving care, I'm going to watch over you with a love that won't freeze over in the winter and won't dry up in the summer. An unconditional, agape love. I want you to say it. God doesn't love us because we're somebody. He loves us so we can become somebody. That's your word. Isn't that great? Psalms 37:23, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 in the Moffat's Bible says, bring the Lord into all your future plans, and He will clear the road for you. God's going to clear the road. Is the husband and wife combination? Deuteronomy 32, 30. One of you can stand against 1,000. Two of you can put 10,000 to flight. Jeremiah 31:12, the two of you are going to flow together because of the goodness of the Lord, the wheat, wine, and oil, and you're going to touch young and old, and you'll never go through a dry spell. It says your spirit will be constantly refreshed and renewed and invigorated. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. Yeah, we gotta let the kids melt through so they'll have the vittles on when we finish this time. I've got the best news in the world for you. And the prosperity words. Isaiah 48:15. I spoke to you. I called you. I brought you along. You're gonna need to be prosperous. Psalm 35:27. It says, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Everybody say it with me. Let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. I was at Christ of the Nations, and one of the students was a lady, 81 years of age. And this lady was coming through the line, and the Lord gave me a word that he was going to let her be financially independent for the rest of her life. So anyway, I gave her these scriptures, and right next to Christ of the Nations is McDonald's. The kids call it the Golden Arches, you know. And I said, and then down the street a block is a steakhouse. So I said, I got good news for you, lady. God is releasing funds for you. I said, you're not going to have to go to McDonald's anymore. You're going to be eating up at the steakhouse. And she looked at me, and her lips quivered. She got tears in her eyes. And she says, McDonald's? She says, I just love their french fries. So I've never made that pronouncement again. I dropped that prophecy. Isaiah 43:18-19. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. I'm doing a new thing for you. It's going to be a way in the wilderness, a stream in the desert. I'm going to give to my chosen people drink, and you're going to refresh many people. Hallelujah. Whoa. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Okay, come on up here. Listen to this. Psalm 75:6-7. Your promotion is coming from the Lord. It's not coming from east, west, north, or south. I mean, it's coming from the Lord. In Proverbs 22:29, whenever you see a man or a woman that's diligent in their service to the Lord, they're not going to spend their life on the shadow side of the street with losers, malcontents, misfits, and dropouts. They're going to be on the sunshine side of the street with the people that have the winning attitude. Hallelujah. Praise God. What's your name, sweet? Rihanna. Well, the Lord gave me a word that you're going to be a little joy bringer. That you're going to be bubbly, 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 bubbly. Isaiah 12:3, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And if you're just chattering away and the neighbors start complaining and saying you're too noisy, just say, that's my way of praising the Lord. Hallelujah. So, she is going to be a first-class yakker. Non-stop mouth. Isn't that wonderful? Okay. How many children do you have? Two. I don't know where it is, but maybe somebody could help me train up the child. Is it 22:6? Proverbs? Okay, Proverbs 22:6. Train up the child in the way he should go. Not the way you want the child to go. Not you living your life through the child. Not you, saying, well, this is what I want her to be, and I didn't make it, so I want you to be this. But train up the child in the way he should go. She should. The Lord will show you what he has planned for them. Then when they're old, they won't depart from it. In Isaiah 54:13, your children are going to be taught by the Lord. Isn't that neat? Praise God. Got an interesting word for you. You're going to be so busy in this decade that you'll never have another lonely day. Loneliness will never be a problem. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you. The Living Bible says, plans for good, not for evil, to give you a future of a hope. The New American Standard Bible says, plans for your welfare, not your calamity. The New International Version says, plans for your prosperity, not your hurt or injury. And the Lord says, I know the plans that I have for you to give you a future and a hope. That means you've got a good future and you've got a lot to look forward to. Everybody say, good news, it's only going to get better.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.